Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 7. We're moving on into Romans chapter 7 now. I will just mention one thing, and that was a good message, Joe, that you preached about Noah finding grace. There are those who believe that Noah was somehow different from the rest of the world, and that's why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But that passage tells us, it actually tells us, not the date, but the error, E-R-A, not E-R-R, however you spell it. The time frame in which Noah found grace and became a justified man. He was just in all his generations. So before his children were born, at least the first one, Noah was not a just man. He was just like everybody else because he declared to be a just man in all his generations. Not all generations, in his generations, and it names the three sons. Yep. So it was right before he had that first son, at least, is when God Almighty showed Noah grace. I just thought I'd point it out because this is something I never seen until I sat right there while Joe was preaching. Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, which gives clear reference to me that there were some among the church at Rome that did not understand or know the law. They had no upbringing in the law. They were what we might call just rank Gentiles and had no understanding of the law. But he says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And Paul is absolutely correct here. He is being moved by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
But he doesn't then talk about a man. He talks about the woman.
Yes, he does.
He talks about the woman. For the woman, which hath an husband, is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. Yes. But if the husband be dead, and let's get this right, not divorced.
Nope.
The law, Moses allowed for divorce. And I'll look at that later, maybe we'll mention it again later, but Moses allowed for divorce in the law because of fornication. But he said from the beginning it was not so. God created a man and a woman. And the two, one man, one woman, shall be made one flesh. And Christ said this is the way it was from the beginning. So this is not about divorce. Anyone, according to law, now listen to me, under law, if you're here this morning and you were married and you've been divorced and your spouse still lives, especially if you're a woman, that's what this is saying, you are an adulteress. That's what the law calls you. Is that not what it says? But if her husband be dead, that's the only thing. If the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. It's what she is. It's how it is. That's the way it is under law. No reprieve. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she be no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So when she has this second husband, if the first husband is dead, then by law, she is right. She is not an adulteress.
Right.
Wherefore, do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ.
Amen.
He does not say the law is dead.
No.
And I have give antidotes that illustrated that about the woman who had the husband, and the husband dies, she remarries, and then she sets out two or three plates, one for her, one for the dead husband, one for the living husband. And it's a valid truth, but it's not exactly what Paul's talking about here. Because the law didn't die. We died, if we're brethren, if we are believers, we died to the law by the body of Christ. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead. Not ye ought to be, but you are.
Amen.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Which lets me know at one time there was a real sense in which I was married to the law. But when God Almighty saves us,
amen,
when God Almighty brings life and conversion to us, we're freed from the law because we're dead to it.
Amen.
And we're dead to it by the body of Jesus Christ. Anything short of this is an insult to the death of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Any trying to join the believer back to the law, or trying to claim the believer is still connected to the law in any way, is an insult to the second husband.
Amen.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that she should be married to another, and there is no doubt as to who this is, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Because when we were under the law, we did not bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And that's all it ever did.
Amen. That's right.
Even when Paul said, according to the law, I was blameless, he's not saying he wasn't dead.
That's right.
He was still dead. Fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law.
Amen.
Now, as I have tried to point out when we began this study in Romans, if you have a thus saith the Lord for any specific thing, it is absolute truth.
Yes, sir.
And you can preach it and believe it and give testimony to it with confidence, all the detractors notwithstanding. But do not think then that you can then say, since that is true, then this must be true. If you do not have a thus saith the Lord for the this, you must leave thee this alone. Now, I don't know if everyone here, people out there, people here this later will comprehend what I'm saying. But at one time we had a man in this congregation that did comprehend what I was saying. Sat right back there, and every time I said it, I would see his face grimace. We have thus saith the Lord to believe what we believe, think what we think, and walk the way we walk, or we have nothing.
Exactly.
And we're not left up for us to fill in the gaps, because if there is a gap, it's because God meant to keep that from us.
That's right.
That's right. The secret things belong to who?
Yeah.
The Lord.
Amen.
So, as the one man told, I think it was Henry, I don't remember, but said, we need to figure out what the secret things are. They're secret, you can't. That's the whole point.
That's it.
Ah, but the things that are revealed, what are they? They're to us and to our children. So he goes on, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, sin's our problem. Yes, but so was the law. So was it not because the law is bad. The law is holy, just, and good.
Amen.
But it, as Paul, is a perfect, it was a perfect analogy. The law's like that x-ray you take. It can show you the problem, but it can't fix the problem.
Exactly.
And at best, it can show you the problem.
Yeah.
And it will never show you the problem unless God Almighty gives you life from above so you can see what the problem is.
Amen.
Because most people think the law is just a bunch of do's and don'ts. And if I got more do's than I do have, than I have don'ts, I'll probably be okay. This is not true.
Right.
Did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now ye are delivered from the law. And I thank God for that. That being dead, wherein we were held, This is captive language.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before God Almighty delivered us from the law by regeneration and conversion, we were captives to sin and the law. That we should serve, how? In newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, I will not this morning try to argue about what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the law. He's talking about morality. He's talking about righteousness. He's talking about that which is holy, just, and good. And if you've ever been divorced, if you've been married to more than one person at one time, and I don't care what the law of the country says, I don't care what the courthouse says. God said you're married to somebody, they're still alive, and you marry somebody else, you are guilty of adultery. That includes me. That includes you. That includes anybody out there. But I thought, why this legal illustration here? My flesh, as I began to read this, my flesh is like, okay, why? This is odd. Chapter 7 and its beginning words are odd. In other words, why this dead to the law gospel truth now? Why now? You see, the truth of the gospel never suffers. It never allows. You could use whatever language you want to. It never permits spiritual adultery.
Yeah, that's right.
Never.
Amen.
If you're married to Christ, you're not married to the law.
Exactly.
If you're married to the law, you're not married to Christ.
Amen.
And there can be no mixing of those two.
Right.
Because any mixing of those two is spiritual adultery.
Exactly.
It is forbidden. And that's my title. Spiritual adultery. Forbidden. And you know, most people don't think about spiritual adultery, do they?
No, you're right.
They just think about a relationship between one fallen man and one fallen woman and how that all works. We're talking about a relationship between fallen men and women with the holy, the thrice holy God of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Paul is not bringing up a new subject. He is just now delving into detail an old subject that he's already brought up over and over. That is, Paul has indicated this gospel prohibition already. Chapter 2. Let me just read it. Bear with me. Chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So in other words, God will not let sin go.
Exactly.
Your ignorance of the law will not set you free from God. It won't do it. But look. For as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
Amen.
You see it? It's not respecting the law. It's not giving great credence to the law. It is actually doing the law. And if you're going to be just before God by law, you've got to do the law. That's one thing he mentions. Now look, here's another one. Chapter 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law. Oh, how many people do that? There's even a bunch of Gentiles now that are resting in the law.
You're right.
Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, be instructed out of the law. Pretty sanctified kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know what he's talking about there? Pretty sanctified kind of gal.
Yeah.
We've had that happen right here in this place too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Art confident that thyself are a guide of the blind and a light of them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish and a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, do you do the same things you teach somebody else not to do?
Exactly.
And anybody under law does. Because no one keeps God's holy law.
Amen.
James puts it this way. You know of this one. You offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You are a law breaker.
That's
Look at what else Paul says, chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things the law, whatsoever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, folks, we think this is primer. We've heard this here for more than we've heard it. You've heard it here for my 37 years, at least. And you heard, some of you heard it before that.
Oh, yeah.
This ain't no message we're preaching now. We've not veered away from the truth we began to preach in the beginning.
That's right.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now there's already three places Paul's done dealt with this. He just brought it up briefly, right? Alright, he's not done yet. Chapter 3, verse 27. Let me find my spot. Chapter 3. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. See, it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. So what matters? Faith. And faith is connected to grace, not law.
Amen.
Paul's clear on that in another epistle. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. But Paul's not done yet. Chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he, that is Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is negated as absolutely nothing. Faith is made void. Do you see that? Faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. I have reason to believe that I can state exactly where Paul stood on this matter. Believers are not under the law.
Amen.
Believers are dead to the law by the body of Christ. But he hadn't done yet mentioning this. Chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace. Do you see it?
Yeah.
There it is. There's the hope. There's the answer. Grace did much more abound. But so, chapter 7, he ain't just introducing the subject, is he?
No, mm-hmm. Right.
Chapter 7, he gets into some of the nitty-gritty of the subject, does he not? But he wasn't done yet. Chapter 6, look at it. Verse 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because all of a sudden now we're these righteous people. We're regenerated and converted, and now we just live like we're supposed to live. That's not it. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Whatever you yield yourself to shows it to be your master. That's what he says in verse 16. So when he says, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, he ain't just now brought up the subject of this thing, has he?
Yeah, you're right.
You see, the reformed ilk. I didn't say reformers.
Yeah.
I didn't say the reformers. There's a lot of people who think that Reformed Baptist, Reformed Presbyterian, and I am not giving a blanket condemnation or judgment of all people who call themselves reformers, or reformed, I should say. But, a.k.a., most reformers that I've heard, these reformed people, another word for it, they are the legalists of our day. Because they'll use what parts of the law they like, they'll use what parts of church rule that they like, they'll use what parts of ecclesiastical rule they like, and they'll throw everything else to the wind. And they pick and choose what they want to put you under. If you're a believer, you're married to Christ and nothing else.
Amen. That's right.
You're not married to the law. You're not married to self. You're not married to your works. You're married to Christ to bring forth fruit unto God.
Amen.
Now, either you're married to Christ or you're not. And you can't be married to Christ and somebody else.
Exactly.
Because grace don't bring that about.
Exactly.
So again, the Reformed ilk, the AKA the legalists of our day who teach salvation by Christ, but maybe sanctification by law, commandment keeping, or those who want a union to Christ and law, they are adulterers.
Exactly.
Is that not what Paul's clearly pointing out in Romans 7, verses 1 through 6?
That's what it says.
Spiritual adultery is more damning than natural adultery.
Right.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, it's all damning, but spiritual adultery is more damning because there is forgiveness for natural adultery.
Yeah, you're right.
You join yourself, you claim to be joined to Christ, and you join yourself to anything else, you are an adulteress of which there is no reprieve. Either Christ saved you and redeemed you fully and joined yourself to Him and released you from everything else, or you are not married to Him.
That's it.
And that includes me.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to do, and I'll try to be as brief as I can, I want to read these six verses again, but I'm going to do so, and I'm going to, with each thing, there's going to be five scriptural facts that I'm going to state here, and then we'll look at how those facts are stated in these words in this portion of chapter 7. Here's the first thing. Remember, there are three things. And before I go any further, let me remind us all that, yes, Moses allowed for divorce in the law, but that didn't make it right. And the Lord Himself said so. And if, I'm not going to take time to go back. I'm not here to argue that. It's a fact. You can find that in Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. Christ teaches this very thing. First of all, here's the first point. The law. The law. Only one marital union concurrent is allowed, period. Right?
Yeah.
Only one marital union concurrent, that is, at the same time, is allowed. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. But the law had a flaw in it, and Paul even mentions that in Hebrews. There was one flaw in the law. The priesthood came from Levi. Under grace, the priesthood comes through Judah. And Paul says there is a necessity, a change had to take place. But let me tell you something. Even under the law, even after God issued forth the law on Sinai, no man was ever condemned for having multiple wives at one time. Was he? No, he wasn't. In this matter, folks, the law is one-sided.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I don't like that. It's the facts.
Yeah.
Say what you will.
That's it.
For the woman that hath, which hath an husband, is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. But the law did teach this. Headship is what matters.
Amen.
That's an important lesson.
Yes, sir.
I'm not even going into that. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. So that's the first thing. The law. Only one marital union concurrent is allowed, period. But now look, the gospel. Only one marital union concurrent is allowed, period. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. It's not you ought to be. It's not you can pick and choose which way you want to go with this. People are still just like those Judaizers in Galatia. You've got to have Jesus, but you need a little bit something more than Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
That's what those Judaizers were doing in Galatia.
Exactly.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Number three, under law, flesh is paramount, and death was the sure fruit. Again, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's the third thing. Under the law, flesh is paramount, and death was the fruit. Under grace, we serve God, being delivered from union to the law. Believers serve by an inner motivation of spirit, not by outward conformity to rules. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. And this world says, but you got to give men and women rules or they won't walk right. God didn't give you any rule when he saved you, did he? What rule did you have to fulfill for him to save you? The only rule that was fulfilled was when Jesus Christ did the will of the Father. It died on Calvary's tree for you. And send his Holy Spirit to you in power, and his gospel to you in power, and brought you from darkness to light, from Amen. Death to life. Amen. Now, if he's able to do that for me in my fallen state, he can keep me in this state into which he's brought me now.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This thing of trying to mix a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of law is nothing but an attempt by fallen men and women to say outright, to teach what they won't say outright. God can't do it without you. God needs your help in some way at least. Number five, believers are dead to the law and married to Christ. We already read that verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. This is clear gospel truth.
Amen.
I mean, unless you're just trying to find a way out, just trying somehow to deny the truth that is here, you cannot teach that the truth of God as taught by the Apostle Paul was that you got a little bit of Christ and a little bit of law. You can't even teach that you got a whole lot of Christ and a little bit of law. It's either you're under the law or you're under grace. You're either married to the law or you're married to Christ. There is no in between in God's way of grace. This is clear gospel truth. And let's listen. I will try to move along. Let's listen to confirming gospel truth.